So glad you're here this morning. I'm so glad to see Lisa walking in. Good morning. Glad you're here. Let's open with a word of prayer. I've got a lengthy lesson, and I'm just praying I get through it. And so I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming to Sunday school. I really believe Bible study is critical. I don't think it's, well, maybe I will. I think it's needed. I've got to have it. And so I'm so glad you're here. Let's open in a word of prayer. Our Father, we bless your name this morning. We thank you this morning as the sun rose up that your mercies, your tender mercies, were new and fresh in our lives. We thank you for the privilege of life. May our lives count for your kingdom. Lord, we lift up these names that have been mentioned this morning, Lisa and Susie and Aaron's mom, Glenda. Lord, we pray your blessing on them. We pray that you'll meet every need in their lives. And Lord, now as we come to your word, may it not be ho-hum. May it be exciting as it lands on our hearts this morning. And may you stir us up to new levels of obedience and new levels of serving you and new levels of joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back to our new series of lessons that we started a few weeks back. And these lessons are meant to help us think in a fresh and a new way about our purpose as Christian women. I'm hoping they're going to be inspiring lessons, inspiring us to live. And the word we're centering on is sent, as sent women of God, because God is always at work around us. Now, God is inviting us to join him in this supernatural, exciting, and joyful adventure of fulfilling the biblical mandate that he's given to us, to each and every one of us. And let's start by reading that mandate. And I put it out of the Amplified Bible because it just expands it. Sometimes I like to read in the Amplified Bible. So let's see what Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says out of the Amplified Bible. Now receive this on your heart as this is Jesus giving you a mandate this morning. Jesus came up and said to them and to us, "All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age." And then I thought about this verse out of Psalm 107. I love this verse. It's just so plain. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord open their mouth and tell others that it is so. Those whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. You see, you came into the kingdom of God. You were born again, and you were born again because someone who was born again opened their mouth and they shared the gospel with you. And then God opened your eyes to the truth that you were lost apart from the gift of God that comes to you in Jesus Christ. You had a change of mind. You had a change in your thinking. You felt a need in your life that you realized only God could fill. And so, by faith, you reached out and you accepted that gift of salvation, and that's when your new life in Christ began. To say it in biblical words, I will say it like this: you were born again. Now, we did this one other time, but I want to do it another time because I want you to talk more around your tables and some of you didn't get to share. But when I said that, did someone pop in your mind? Someone who was key in leading you to your salvation? Someone who was a witness to Christ in your world? Someone who was redeemed and they said so to you, and it caused you to want to come to know Christ? I'm going to give you 3 minutes around your table, and I want you to share, tell the story of who God used to bring you to Himself. All right, now, look on your handout. Now, we're going to fill in some blanks, because in the last several weeks, we've been laying a foundation for this study, and here's what we've seen so far. We've seen three core truths, and here's the first one. Fill in your blank. God is always at work to draw people to Himself. Now, I spent a whole lesson on these three. I'm just hitting the highlights because we saw God has placed eternity in the heart of every person. And the very purpose Jesus stated Himself, the reason He came, was to seek and to save that which was lost. So bringing people into the kingdom, it was His primary work then, it's His primary work today. And this brings us to the next core truth that I want you to write down. God uses people to lead others to Jesus. And so as you're going into your world, the Spirit of God is in you, and you're living obediently to the Word of God. You have good news to share. And it's so exciting to be a woman on mission with God, being used by God. And here's the third core truth. God is continually inviting us into the work of evangelism. Now, as we embrace this great commission as our purpose, as we see it as our actual calling, as we look at it and say, what is God's will for me? That's God's will for me. That becomes my primary vocation in life. Everything else comes under it. My job, my family, everything is a platform that I'm going to use to take the gospel into the world. And the Bible tells us that as we do this, God makes our feet beautiful. So, you've got beautiful feet if you do that. When we take our lives, we live our lives around these three truths, we're going to begin to see God work in powerful ways around us. And the truth is, very few Christians actually live this way. And last week, we spent some time cultivating our want to. For some reason, we talked about the fact that we really do want to see others come into the kingdom. We really do. I really do. I'm sad that the world is so broken. I really want people to get saved, to get right with God, to live lives on mission for Him. But my desire sometimes isn't strong enough to overcome all the barriers to telling others about Jesus boldly. In other words, to being His witness. So last week, our lesson was all about how to strengthen our want to. And we did that by centering our thoughts on two convictions that we needed to cultivate. And we said our conviction will grow as we center and ask ourselves two questions. And I put them on your handout. Here's question number one. Do I really believe that the gospel is good news? Do I really believe that? And number two, do I really believe that every person is lost apart from Christ? Do we have extra handouts? If you've got an extra handout at your table, would you raise your hand? I just didn't make enough handouts this morning. Here's one. Another. Gosh, this is good. I'll give one. Y'all share this one. Okay, just share that. I'm sorry about that. I'll make more next week, and then we'll be real down. I feel bad because I throw away the old handouts, and sometimes I'm throwing away a whole stack of them. So you just never know. Now, when I realize and come to understand Either I am in Adam or I am in Christ. Now, these are the two federal heads. Either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. And by the way, when Adam fell, the whole human race fell with him. And we talked about this last week. I'm just sort of doing a little bit of a review. And in Adam, I'm lost. I cannot help myself. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. I'm in his likeness. I'm without hope. I'm ungodly. I'm completely unable to fix my condition of lostness. And then the good news of the gospel shines, and it's such good news. And it shows me there is a way to move from being in Adam to coming over to being in Christ. That's salvation. Your salvation was 100% a miracle of God. It was a gift. So don't pat yourselves on the back. As if, well, good for me. I was smart. I came to God. No, you didn't. You were dead. You were dead. Dead people don't come to others. But you see, God quickened you. God came and wooed you. God sought you out. He opened your eyes and he gave you life. And you were born again. Now look at Ephesians 2. On your handout. This is why you can't pat yourself on the back. Because you see, it's by grace that you were saved. It was grace, all grace, nothing to do with you and your good thinking and all of that. It was for by grace you have been saved through faith. You believed God, and look, and that, speaking of the faith that saved you, that was not of yourselves. It was a gift. God gave you a gift to believe. What an absolute miracle. You were lost. You were dead. But God looked down on you, girls, and he had mercy. He had mercy. Oh, thank you, God, for your mercy. Now, do you realize that all around us, people are lost. They're apart from Christ. They're without hope. They're ungodly. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. And do you believe this? Can you be like Jesus? Listen to how he felt toward the lost. I just stumbled across these verses this week, and they just, my goodness, can't tell you what they did to my heart. Look at it with me, Matthew 9, 35 and 36. Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Can't you just see him? Seeing the people, he felt, notice what he felt. He felt compassion for them because they were harassed and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, just look, guys, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. I'm beseeching you this morning. You know, my name is Teresa. I found out years ago that my name means, and I just love it, Maiden of the Harvest. Isn't that a cool name? Maiden of the Harvest. God is sending us. I wonder, as we're going through these lessons, is your want to growing? Is your want to being challenged? Are you being convicted in this area? And so there you are. You're going into your world. You're going to work. You're going to the grocery store. You're going to the Dollar General because they're on every corner, everywhere. I love Dollar Generals. You're going into the classroom, you're at the ballpark, you're at restaurants, you're everywhere. Let's have some talk time around our tables for another couple of minutes. Here's what I want you to talk about. Do you remember what your life was like before you knew Christ? And how does this help your attitude toward those who don't know Christ? Take about 2 minutes. And talk about those two things. Go. All right, time's up. Come back to me. What I want to show you, look at John 6:38. This is what Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." John 4:34, Jesus tells us that his food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. You see, Jesus, most of all, saw himself as being sent by his Father. What do you see in your mind when you say the word sent? Let's think about that word. Most likely you see in your mind someone who is detached on a mission. They are sent on a mission, dispatched. I'm sorry, that didn't make sense. Someone who is dispatched. This is going to involve a strategic location, and it's going to involve a specific assignment. And so God sent Jesus to a precise location in the ancient world. But what about us? Did Jesus send us to our location? Are we here in our town by God's design? Are we in our church, in our neighborhood, by God's design? Now, go to Acts 17 with me. Let's read these verses. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations." Who would that one man be? You tell me. We all came from one man,
Adam.
"That they should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." Now, this passage indicates some things for us that I want to point out. And the first thing I want you to see is that God sets the times and the places where people live, including us. And this also tells us why he did this. He did it so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Now, people are going to reach out for God. They're going to meet him through us. We are living where we are by God's design. Look at Daniel 5. "God holds in his hand your life and all your ways." The truth is, God has placed us here. God has given us a clear mission. And when we embrace it and move out, then that's when extraordinary things began to happen. It was over 50 years ago that Bill and I came to Brookhaven. And there was this mandate given to us as Christians. Now, I didn't realize it at that time, but here's what it was. Teresa and Bill, I want you to go there, live there, love the people there, be available to the people there, tell the people living there about Jesus, and teach them to obey all that I have commanded. Where we're living is not by accident. We're sent people. We are to make ourselves available. We are to love those around us. God has chosen us to live where we live for the purpose of introducing others to Jesus. Each day we should be living in expectation that God is sending us to someone who needs to hear the message about Him. Every interaction is a divine appointment. Every encounter is a possible rescue mission on your deployment. Thinking this way turns our work day, our home life, into an adventure filled with intimacy with Jesus. I mean, as you wake up in the morning, you whisper, Lord, who will it be today? Lord, are you sending me to someone today? I want you to start thinking this way in your life. Think about your natural pathways of your life, where you're working, where you're running your errands, you're going to the gym, you're volunteering, you're at the salon, you're any place. And as you are going, consider the truth. It's not by accident where you live and where you spend your time, because God is sending you to where people need to know Jesus. Now look on your handout. I put a quote by Dr. Robert Coleman. He wrote a book called The Master Plan of Evangelism. Here's a quote from that book that I really liked. Christian disciples are sent men and women sent out in the same work of world evangelism to which the Lord was sent and for which he gave his life. Evangelism is not an optional accessory to your life. It is the heartbeat of all that we are called to do and be. But here's the thing about being sent that I want you to write down. Here's a truth that I want you to see. It isn't instant. I mean, you know, you just don't immediately get saved and instantly you're like on fire to go share the gospel. But what the truth about it is, it's something we grow into. So put that on your handout. Now, the Bible gives us some powerful titles that serve as metaphors to help us fully understand who we are in Christ. And that's what I want us to start. And this morning, we're going to look at the first one. And the first one is the hardworking farmer. It's going to help us understand. Now, this one isn't easy for me. Farmer. Because I'm a city girl. Can you believe I've never worked in a garden? I mean, really. My parents didn't have a garden. I lived in the city, and I mean, I feel real comfortable in a grocery store. I've never had to take care of cows or chickens or animals. I have one little frou-frou puffy dog that I love named Bitsy. And when I think of a farmer, I picture hard work and forget vacation. Because the corn's coming in, or the butter beans are coming in, or the okra's coming in. And you've got to stay home and do all that hard work. And then how can you leave the animals? They have to be fed, they have to be watered, they have to be cared for. You have to get up at the crack of dawn to go get the eggs or whatever. It's just plain old hard work. I don't think I put this on your handout, but let me say, Paul calls Timothy to join him. In 2 Timothy 2:6, he says, join me and be like a hardworking farmer. And he describes the work of a farmer as one who's going and sowing spiritual seeds. Let's go to Luke 8. That's where we're going to consider this story that Jesus gives. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky soil, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." And then Jesus explained the parable. We'll go to verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Verse 13. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, being sent, we just said, means that you're like a hard-working farmer. So there are four kinds of soils out in the harvest world where we're going. Let's write them down. There's the shallow soil. Then there's the rocky soil. Then there's the thorny soil. And then there's the good soil. Now, a really smart, wise, hardworking farmer, he's going to look out on his field and he's going to ask a question. He's going to say, what kind of soil am I dealing with here? What can I do with this soil to make it more ready to receive the seed? He's going to have to do some soil work, right? Did you ever think about the fact that in your workplace, your home, wherever you are in your world, that your acts of service, just how you're living your life, how you're serving others, your intentional attitude of praise could be the very thing that could help create conditions in another person's heart so that they would want to know Jesus. To believe the gospel could be true because it's because you're living out your life right before them. You're doing groundwork in their hearts. And when they see you, that creates hope in them that maybe the gospel is really true. So as you're going in your world and you're speaking spiritual things and you're scattering spiritual seed just in your normal conversation, maybe you're talking about, you make a statement about heaven. Maybe you make a statement about some answered prayer or some sweet providence of God in your life. See, you're creating a landscape in the soul of the other person who's interacting with you. And they begin to imagine that spiritual truths can be true. See, you're cultivating good soil. So let's write this down. The hardworking farmer understands that first you prepare the soil so that the seed will land on good soil. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, it's nothing more than you honestly sharing your authentic Christian life openly before other people. It's nothing more than you making the most of your opportunities that rise up in your life day after day. And see, as you do this, others learn what you value and how you live your life. And you're showing them that Jesus really is the one in your life that's made all the difference. Now, I'm not talking about forcing spiritual conversations here. I'm not talking about you being overbearing and making people uncomfortable. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about you modeling your spiritual life. I'm talking you about just being who you are openly before others. Just caring for other people. Just being available to other people. Just saying, can I pray for you? Just inviting them to Sunday school. I wonder, how many of you came to this class because someone invited you? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Okay, there's several of you. You came because someone invited you. How many of you came to our church because someone invited you? Raise your hand. All right? See, the words we speak about our spiritual lives flow naturally from who we are and our role as a spiritual farmer. A spiritual farmer is very, very aware of Philippians 4:8. Look at it on your handout. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then we have to add Philippians 2:14 to it, because it tells us that when we do everything without grumbling or arguing, we're going to shine among those in the world like stars in the sky. What an amazing two verses. Let's read it. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You want to be a star? You want to shine in your Christian life? Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. Why does that come so natural? Instead, do Philippians 4:8. Whatever's pure, excellent, worthy. Let those words, let that attitude, let that behavior come out. And as you do, it cultivates the soil of another person's heart. I don't want to do anything that's going to harm the soil of another person's soul. So first, the hardworking farmer plants the seeds, and we are to be like him. Here's the second thing. I'm going to skip that 1 Corinthians because I've got to hurry. The hardworking farmer sows the seed. So just skip that verse and go to the next one. Now remember with me, what is the seed in the parable? The seed is, what is it? Somebody saying it. The Word of God. Put that down. You see, here's the whole reason why I'm living my godly life before the world. It's in order to prepare the heart to receive the what?
The Word.
The Word. The Word. You can't get saved apart from God's Word. Without the Word, everything is fruitless. That's what the plowing is all about. Sowing God's Word is a skill that will take you your whole lifetime to cultivate. Excuse me. It's going to mean you've got to be growing in the knowledge of God's Word. You've got to be memorizing it, building your own fortress of truth. I'm giving you homework. I want each of you to get a notebook, and we're going to call it our fortress of truth. And as you are in the Word for yourself, God will take scriptures. He will impress them upon you. Now, God's Word is called the Logos. That just means Word. But you know what the Spirit of God does? As you're in the Word of God, He takes the Logos of God's Word and He turns it into Rhema. Rhema is when God's Word speaks directly to you. It's like revelation to you. It becomes yours. Fill your notebook. Fill your fortress of truth with God's Word. Commit it to memory. Meditate on it. Write down Bible verses that speak to you. And then practice speaking those verses into your Word. When you do, you're taking seed out of your bag and you're sprinkling it on hearts in your world. And God's Word is powerful. In any conversation, a hard-working farmer will ask, how can I apply a passage of Scripture to this situation? Be thinking that in your mind as you're in your world and you're interacting with people. Is there something I can share from God's Word that might help the heart of this person? How would this conversation look? Well, say you're talking with someone who's very fearful. And I know a verse, 1 Timothy 1:7. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. A person is overwhelmed in a trial. I can say on the Word of God, God is with you. God will never leave you or forsake you. And I'm here with you too. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Someone you love is experiencing anxiety. Oh, don't be anxious. Because God says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Someone's in need. They have great physical needs, monetary needs. You can say, you know what God's Word says? I know your need is great, but if you will learn to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything else will fall in place. He will meet your needs. Here's another tip for speaking Scripture into daily conversations. Think of how you might finish this sentence. I didn't put it on your handout. I should have. I could say to someone this, what you are saying reminds me of something I read in the Bible, where God says, and then I share what God says. I'm looking for ways to spread the seed of the Word of God. I want you to think of yourself as a hardworking farmer. You're assessing your land. You're going out to sow the Word. Make this your mindset. And I want you to remember, you're not alone. We're all working together. We're all workers together with God. We're in the body of Christ together. We're all in the harvest together. We're all maidens of the harvest. And boy, is the harvest ever plentiful. Just look around, ladies. Let's close with John 4. Don't you have a saying, Jesus said? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. You see, we're workers together. We're farmers together. Some of us are preparing the soil, and others come along and plant, and then there's those that are harvesting. But what matters most is God is doing all the work, and He's doing it right now. Your role as a farmer might find you doing any of those three things: plowing, sowing, harvesting. And so Jesus gives us this morning that beautiful call. He says this: when you leave today and you go get in your car, I want you to open your eyes. Look up. Open your eyes. Just look at the fields. Look all around you. People are perishing all around us. I want you, He is telling us, to be like a hard-working farmer who prepare the soil of hearts, who sow the Word of God wherever they go, and perhaps to be the one who brings in a harvest. Girls, it's not as hard as it seems. Just go out and be who you are. Be a witness of what God has done for you. Now, as we close, I want to ask, is that desire to share the gospel growing within you? I want you to watch out, because that's what I'm praying for us in our Sunday school class. that God would grow our want to, that we would go out and share. Now, I'm going to say this again, and so go into your worlds this week. Sow the word. Be kind. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Be sensitive to others. Look up. Look around you. You're in the grocery store. They're all there. You're going to bump into people. They have needs. Share the word. Share the seed. Invite them to Sunday school. Invite them to church. Invite them into your world. Care about them. Watch out what God is going to do. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And then if you have a testimony you want to share, let me know. I'll let you share it. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this picture of a hardworking farmer. He's out there sweating. He's out there working. And he's, oh, so enjoying his crop as it's growing beautifully around him. He's worked hard in those fields. And Father, help us to see ourselves as women who are going to work hard for you, who are going to take very seriously your mandate to go into our world with gospel. And I pray you give us opportunities. Pray you'll just wake us up and help us to lift our heads and see all around us that the harvest is very great, and use us as workers in your field. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so thankful for this good crowd this morning. In the summer, that's something. Y'all have a great week.